Because you know you always break the others. Anyone else? I think I saw another. June? Was... You think? No, it wasn't you.
What? Over here. Completely?
Stop smoking and stop drinking completely. Wow. Anyone else going to own up to one they've made? Yes. To learn Swahili. And the thing about New Year's, I don't do New Year's resolutions anymore, never really have very much, but the thing is, most people you talk to, within a week, have broken them, or within two, have kind of really given up. Because I'm very conscious of the difference between what we want to do, there shouldn't be a do there, what we want to do, what we choose to do, and what we actually do. And you know, there should be a do there. My question is, what is it that we want to do? What is it that we choose to do? And what do we actually end up doing? Because often there's a big difference between the intention, the resolution, between then what we put into practice and then the outcome. And I want to think about that this morning in terms of our Christian faith. But I want to start by thinking of some things that we do without really thinking about it. The first one is breathing. On the whole, you don't actually think about breathing. You just do it. You just breathe. There are a few exceptions to that. For example, ladies giving birth. There is some discussion there often about how you breathe or when you breathe. I seem to remember doing it in sympathy, you know, at the antenatal class. Okay, now breathe together, breathe from deeply in the diaphragm, you know, and we practice together. And then on the day, of course, you forget all about it and it's just panic and mayhem and give me that mask again. But the idea is that we have to breathe. My mother was in a very different kind of context. She was in intensive care and heart, lungs stopped working. And she said afterwards, she said, I was in this lovely place, there was a light, and I was going towards it, and it was glorious. And excuse me for saying exactly what the nurse said, because she said, and then I heard a voice saying, breathe, damn you, breathe. And I came back. And she told us the story. But generally, we don't have to think about breathing. It just goes in, out, and we just kind of carry on doing that all day long. Another one that's quite different, but just as important for life, is eating. We choose to eat. And we choose when we eat. We choose what we eat. And the crucial one is we choose how much we eat. Now, of course, there are times when we do it automatically. Say there's a box of chocolates open in front of us and we're actually concentrating on the television. And somehow the box empties and we didn't even notice how it happened. I gather some people have that experience. But generally, we choose what to eat, when we eat, and we choose how much we eat. And that's the difficult one, isn't it? Because some of us have eaten more than we think we ought to have done over the Christmas period, and now we're thinking, I've got to choose to eat less over the next month. Right. They appreciate that. But it's not easy. And in a while, there'll be some who say, we actually should have chosen to eat less than we managed to choose to eat. And that's the difference between what we want to do, what we choose to do, and what we end up doing. And the one I want to think about this morning is developing our relationship with God. I could have put praying, I could have put reading the Bible, I could have put going to church, but I want to put everything in, throw it all together in the pot and say, developing a relationship with God. It's something we have to want to do and choose to do. And I hope it's something that we who are here today want to do. Because there are an awful lot of people in the world who frankly don't want to do this. They don't even think about this. If you ask them about their New Year's resolutions, this would not even appear on their radar. God? No. And what will happen is they won't develop a relationship with God in the overwhelming majority of cases. They have no interest in him, and nothing will happen. You have to choose. You have to make a conscious effort to say, yes, that's something I want to do. And as I say, I hope that because you're here in church this morning, you've actually bothered to get up and to come out in the cold and to be here today, that you'll say, yes, that's what I want to do. But how do we do it? And what this question is the heart of this term. We call this in this church the discipleship term, because we focus for each of our three different parts of the year on different aspects of church life. And in the last term, we were encouraging one another. I hope we were encouraging one another, challenging one another, inspiring one another, giving each other ideas on how to reach out with the good news of Jesus. This term, the focus is on encouraging one another to grow in our relationship with God. It would be good if we challenge one another to grow in our relationship with God, helping one another to grow in our relationship with God. And we've designed the sermon program for 10:30 and 6:30 around the idea of let's help people to do that. Let's encourage one another to do that. And I've got three tips this morning on how we can sort of kickstart that process. The first one is this. As I've already said, really, to choose. We need to choose to do that. We have to say, yes, this morning, I know it won't happen automatically. Let's think of a parallel. Say at the start of the year, I think it'd be really nice to get to know our neighbours better. You know, we see them vaguely, but we don't really know who they are. It'd be really nice to get to know them. If I just think, yeah, that'd be great, wait for it to happen, not much will happen. We might bump into each other once in the street, possibly, but we might not. At some point we have to say, tell you what, let's ask them round for a drink, or let's ask them round for a meal. We have to invest in the relationship if we're going to get anything out of it. It's the same with our relationship with God. If we think, oh, well, I hope that will happen, you know, as the year goes by, I hope I'll grow in my relationship with God. Unless we actually do something about it, it's pretty unlikely that anything much will. To give a similar, slightly different example, I was watching Breakfast News yesterday, and they were giving tips on, if you're single, how to find a partner. And it was pretty basic. She said, when you go out somewhere and you see someone you're attracted to, go up to them and talk to them. And for example, she said, best chat up line I know, say, can I buy you a drink? There are any single people here this morning who are thinking, what can I do in 2009 to meet someone new? Offer to buy them a drink is apparently the best chat up line. So married people, don't do it. But it's the same with the relationship with God. If we want to do something about it, then we have to make the move. We have to say, yes, God, I want this to happen. We have to take a step towards him and say, this is what I want to do this term. So today, I ask you, will you say yes? Yes, that's what I'm going to do this year, this term. I'm going to want to choose to develop my relationship with God. That would be good. Yeah. Second tip, great good news. It's what God wants. God is looking, he's waiting to develop the relationship with you. That's what he would like more than anything else. Now, I don't know about you, but I have certain favourite TV presenters and newsreaders. And I remember, for example, thinking about those of you who remember Jill Dando. I remember thinking, what a lovely woman she was. And I got to thinking, you know, if ever I met Jill Dando, yeah, we'd have a wonderful time because she's such a charming, warm, friendly person. We have so much in common. I like the news. I'm interested. She's a Christian. Yeah, we'd have a fantastic time. She'd love it. I'd love it. It'd be fantastic. Who do I think I'm fooling? But you kind of build up this relationship with the people on the screens. If you know them, they're so warm. They're so friendly. You know, you could be their best friend if only you met them. No, sorry, you sad person. You're kidding yourself, Simon. They don't know you from Adam. And that's their job. To be warm and friendly. So let's be real about that. But with God, you know, it's not like that at all. God does love you. He does care about you. He does know you personally. He made you. He's watched you grow every day of your life. Even when you were in the womb, he knew you. And he wants to have a better relationship with you. He wants you to get to know him better. He wants to get to know you better. He wants you to invite him into the whole of your life. It's fantastic. He is waiting for us. That's what Philippians tells us. Paul says, I'm confident that God, who started the whole process off in you of becoming a Christian, he will carry that work on in you. And he'll bring it to completion on the day that Jesus returns, on the day that you meet Jesus. God's not just said, come into my kingdom, become a Christian, and now get on with it. He's carrying on working in you, with you, through you, alongside you, to help you grow in your relationship with him. And he says, Paul says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you'll discern what's best and you'll be pure and blameless. And listen, he says, my prayer is that you'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. In other words, that you'll bear the fruit that God is putting in you, that Jesus is putting in you. It's his work in you that's making you a better person, more right with God, closer to God. Jesus is doing that. That's his work. You're bearing the fruit of righteousness in your life. God's on your side. That's great good news. As we start this new year. Okay, so I'm choosing to do this. God wants me to do it. He's on my side. But how? How do I actually go about that? What should we do? Practically. Seems to me that's a very helpful place to go. The practical steps. Well, five suggestions. First of all, it's got to be realistic. So I am going to read the entire Bible through each month for the next year. No. No, you just won't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. Be realistic. Okay, I'm going to read the Bible 2 hours every morning. Get up at 5 o'clock. It's probably not going to happen. Be realistic. It's got to be practical. I'm going to set aside, says the young mother with two preschool children, I'm going to set aside an hour every morning to read my Bible. No, practically, that's not possible, unless you have two wonderful children who sleep for an hour every morning and you're still full of energy. Be practical about the realities of what you can achieve and how you're going to do it. Be honest with yourself. Don't imagine that you're going to transform your life immediately from what it is at the moment to something incredibly holy and spiritual, just like that, in a moment. Be honest with what you can manage and what you realistically want to do. And there is going to be an element of discipline. Discipleship is from the same root as discipline. It doesn't mean being told off or being smacked. It means putting guidelines around what you do. Being, yes, practical, yes, realistic, yes, honest, but firm with yourself and saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this day after day or week after week. I'm actually going to make an effort. I'm going to put it in the diary. I'm going to make sure that I do this. Practicing willpower. You know, one of the illustrations I use on Alpha is if you want to learn French, it's no good just putting a French dictionary under your pillow and hoping that in the night all those words will float through into your mind. You actually have to study. You actually have to listen to French. You actually have to converse in it. And the more you do that, the better you'll get. But you have to make a step and take action. And finally, this I think is crucial, and often we forget. Try and find something that's going to be enjoyable. If you want to grow in your spiritual life, God knows you. He knows the way you are. He knows your personality. He knows your character. And so he wants you to find a way of growing in your relationship with him that is enjoyable, that's fun, that you actually like doing. Let me illustrate. I like reading. I read detective novels. I read historical books. I love reading medieval history books. Very strange, I know, but I do. I love reading the newspaper, I love reading magazines, I read a lot. So the way I'm going to grow in my spiritual life, the way I'm going to enjoy it is by reading. So every morning when I can, unless I'm out at some other meeting or something, when I can, I'll read my Bible, and alongside it I'll read a Bible commentary written by someone who understands, spent much longer studying it than I ever have and understands it much better, and will explain to me what is going on here. And I'll enjoy reading that. It'll help me, it'll challenge me, it'll inspire me, it'll encourage me. And in the evening, last thing before I go to bed, if there's time, if I'm not at a meeting until all hours, then what I'll do is I'll read a Christian book. And it might be a book about church history, because I'm interested in that. It might be, at the moment, it's The Shack, a novel, Christian novel, which is doing the rounds. Just before that, it was The Bloke's Bible by Dave Hopple, which I greatly enjoyed. So I will find a book that I want to read, that I'll enjoy reading, but which will challenge me, stretch me, inspire me, encourage me. And I'll do that every day when I can. Realistic, but enjoyable. Now, other people don't like reading at all. They can't stand reading. It's a real struggle to read. And so don't do that. Find a different way of developing your relationship with God, which will appeal more. Heather, for example, likes writing. She loves writing. She likes writing letters. She likes writing emails. And so one way in which she develops her relationship with God is by writing a journal. So she'll write letters to God, write thoughts to God, write her thoughts about God, have a conversation with God in writing. If you like writing and you've never tried that, try it. It might open up a whole new area of your relationship with God. Some people spend a lot of time listening to music, got the headphones in, got the iPod, and use that. Then that's a way that you can grow in your relationship with God. You can listen to Christian music, and there's all sorts of Christian music. You know, there's Christian jazz, there's Christian rock, there's, you know, it's not just listening to classical music. There's even Christian country and western, if you like that. Genuine country and western title. I want to be a cowboy in the Holy Ghost Corral. Oh, dear. There you go. But whatever you like, there's some way in which God can use that. I'm sure there's even Christian heavy metal. But I don't know that and I can't sing it to you, thankfully. And how about listening to sermons? You can download talks and sermons from the internet so easily now. Put them on your iPod and listen to them. Or indeed put them on a cassette tape and listen to them if you're still in the Stone Age as we are in our kitchen. You can do that through our church website if there are sermons you've missed from St. Paul's. But you can do it from lots of other churches' websites. Heather's listened to a variety of other preachers that she's heard of, that she knows that she'd like. You can download them and listen to them at your leisure. And it'll help you, it'll challenge you. If you disagree with the speaker, that will help you think, why? It doesn't always just have to be things that you think, oh, this is the best speaker I've ever heard. Browse. If you're a person who spends a lot of time on the internet, either through your work or for your leisure, then there are loads of sites you can go on to get a daily prayer sent to you. And you can choose, you know, there's a variety of different ones. You find the right one that's your kind of style. There's one I know that I've come across and used called Sacred Space, for example. But there are lots of different ones. And if you're using one of those programs that will give you a diary and day by day update your information for you personally, you can actually get them sent there. So that each morning when you log on, up pops your new thought for the day, your new prayer for the day. So many different ways. Find it hard on your own? It's a real struggle on my own to do this spirituality, this growing with God, this relationship business. Well, come to Alpha on a Wednesday night and learn together with others. Join a small group. Oh, I've tried that, didn't work. Well, try a different one. Joe Brayton sitting over there in the red, or I will be happy to say, well, there are other groups you could try if the one you've tried hasn't worked or the one you're in isn't working. I would even say, try a different church if you're stale and bored with this one. There are lots of other good churches around. And we know that people sometimes come to us because where they are is no longer meeting the need in their spiritual life. God loves us as we are. And God knows who we are and how we're made. And he wants to bless us. And he wants to grow that relationship. So I say to you, if you're getting a bit stale in your relationship with God, try something new. Try a different way of reading the Bible. I can suggest others, if you haven't heard one this morning that inspires you, there are plenty others. Try using Daily Light, daily readings. Try using Bible reading notes, which give you a passage, a little thought for the day. Try reading it book by book, all sorts of ways you can read. Try meditating on one verse at a time. Try different ways of praying. Try a different service. The 8 o'clock or the 9 o'clock or the 6:30. We know that we need to eat each day. We know that if we go several days and we don't eat, ultimately we'll die. And so in the same way, if we're going to grow in our relationship with God, if we need to be nourished, we need to be fed. And there are different ways of doing that. Reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, meeting in a small group. All sorts of ways that God can feed us and nourish us. He wants us to feed more, to be strong, to be healthy, to grow up. Because he wants to be closer to us and know us better. So let's think about what we're eating and make sure that we're getting good nourishment day by day, week by week. And then ultimately, it'll become more natural. And you know what God really wants is we get to that stage where our relationship with Him is as natural as breathing. And whatever situation we're in, whether we're at work, in the car, in a stressful situation, with our friends having fun, that all the time our conversation with Him is going on as naturally as breathing, as naturally as talking to ourselves. Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say here. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for seeing that I've just seen. Lord, thank you for that parking space I've just got. Thank you, Lord, for that chance conversation I just had. Lord, I've got to ring this person out. I really want to say the right thing to them to help them because I know it could go wrong. Just, it becomes so natural because we are developing our relationship with Him that it's just like breathing. Because, you know, God is for life. He's not just for Christmas. And He wants our relationship to go on day by day by day by day so we draw closer and closer and closer to Him. Because He wants to bless us. And He wants to bring us joy. And He wants to do that using our personality and the person that we are. And He wants to do it starting today. Right here, right now. But going on for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You love us. And that You're on our side. And you made us and You sustain us and You know us and You care for us. And You want us to get to know You better. And I'm just going to leave a moment of quiet now. If you want to say, yes, God, I want to get to know You better this term, then just pray that in your own words, in your own heart, in a moment of quiet that I'm going to leave now. And I'm going to pray too that in the quiet, God shows you, if you want to do that, one way in which you can do that. Maybe the same way that you've been doing for years. It may be a new way. Maybe a different way. It may involve church. It may involve St. Paul's night or a small group or a way of reading the Bible or a way of praying or meeting with a friend to pray. Lord, I just pray that as we sit in silence before You now, You'd speak to us. You'd bring something to mind that will help us to grow in our relationship with You. This week, this month, this year, I ask it in Jesus' name. By Your Spirit, come.